Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of the Working While Homeschooling Podcast, the podcast for workingwhilehomeschooling.com, where our mission is to help homeschooling parents make money, maybe even have a career, while continuing to homeschool and without losing their sanity. My name is Julie, and I am your host and resident career coach today. I want to thank you all for joining us and listening in. I hope you're doing well. On today's episode, we'll be talking to Chris, who is working in corporate photography.
So, can you introduce yourself for us? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, thanks, Julie. I am Christy Crossan, and I am a freelance copywriter. I'm also a photographer. I own a photography business focused on providing services to businesses and small businesses, large businesses, corporate photography, headshots, product photography, that type of thing. I also do copywriting on the side for other clients. Kind of works well together doing copywriting and photography. So I like to say that I make businesses look good online, which is something I love to do. My background is in, I worked for a while in corporate communications, internal communications for a large nonprofit. And I wasn't really thrilled there just because it took so much time away from my family, which is why I kind of why I am where I am now. But my three kids are 8, 4, and 2 years old. And they're amazing. My oldest, he's in third grade. My middle child, she's doing kindergarten level work. We kind of take a slow pace with her. And then my 2 year old, we mostly just try to keep out of things. So
yeah, that's all 2 year olds, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. How did you guys get into homeschooling?
You know, I have to say, if you had asked me when I was like 17 or 18 years old, if I was ever going to homeschool my kids, I would have said no way. I had this plan where I was going to be this big head honcho at a, you know, corporation. And, you know, I was going to be this working mom with, you know, my two kids in daycare and, you know, and they were going to get the best education and they were going to get all the things, you know, they were going to get, all the lessons and all the extracurriculars and everything that, you know, I thought at that time was important. But what I discovered after having kids, the things that I really missed while I was working in the corporate world, because even a nonprofit's it's corporate. It's a business. So, you know, the thing I missed the most when I was working in the corporate world, especially my oldest, was just the time with him. I felt like our evenings when I got home were so rushed. It was just dinner, bath, bed. And that was every night. And then in the mornings, it was a struggle to get him up and get him out the door. And so we were in this constant cycle of just stress and frustration. And, you know, our family values, I realized the school system weren't really teaching those kinds of things. And then with the bullying and all the other stuff, it just didn't seem right. And it didn't seem like the right choice anymore for us and for sending my child off to school. And so we made the decision after we made a big move to the other side of the country, but we kind of made the decision at that time that we were gonna just start homeschooling then, because it was a big change anyway. So let's just change everything all at once. Right. Instead of putting him in a new school, then pulling him back out and all that kind of stuff. And so that's kind of the basics of how we got there.
Yeah, I do agree with you that, you know, like rushing him after, you know, the full-time job, it's difficult. And, you know, they talk about the witching hour with babies, you know, like that's where they kind of go crazy in the evenings. Yeah. And I find even my kids, you know, frankly, there's a line, and when they cross over it, it's like, and I'll tell my husband, it's like, they're done for the day. Just leave them alone. Don't talk to them. Don't mess with them. Because, you know, I mean, my kids are like hitting teenage years. So that line's a little bit different now. But
yeah,
there's just this moment. And it's, I always felt bad because when my husband came home from work, it's like he didn't get the best of them. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, the best of them was during the day and he missed the best parts.
Yes, yes. And, yeah, you know, as a mom, I felt like I was missing the best parts. And,
yeah,
you know, and I didn't want to do that. And, you know, we were thankfully able to make the choice and make the decision. But, we, you know, I still had to keep a job. It wasn't like I could just jump right into, I'm going to quit my job now, because I was actually the higher income earner. So
right,
we had to find a way for me to still make an income, be at home, and have that flexibility of time within my day to educate our kids, and not just educate them, but just be with them. And, you know, I think, right, that's the thing. People think homeschooling is this like, oh, public school structure, but you just do it at home. And it's so much different than that, or it can be so much different than that, depending on your kids and your personality and how they learn. Right. And so, you know, I love it. I wouldn't give up what I'm doing right now for the world, because I get the best of both worlds. I get to pursue, you know, meaningful work, but then I also, the most meaningful work for me is my children. And so I get to be there with them in these early years to help them grow. And I'm seeing just such a level of independence in them, even with what we do at home, that, you know, while they're with me all the time, they still have this independent spirit that I'm able to foster in them.
So tell me about the homeschooling part of your day. Have you found any particular curriculum or resources that kind of just make this working while homeschooling life a little bit easier for you?
Yeah, you know, I think when I first started homeschooling, I was so terrified because there's so many different curriculums. And let's be real here, they're expensive.
Some, you know, can textbooks, be very expensive. Yes.
Textbooks and like curriculum systems are not cheap. And when you've got two or three kids, you start thinking about that for like the years to come. Yeah. And you're like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? So we really take kind of a hybrid approach. I have a background in biology. So, you know, I'm pretty good with the sciences and the math. But I like having a system to kind of help walk the kids through, like, okay, I know they need to learn multiplication, but how do I get to the point to where they can learn multiplication? And it's really funny, I had this aha moment as my child's doing skip counting. Right. But, oh my gosh, that's how they get to multiplication. I get it now. I'm like, I was wondering, why did we learn skip counting when I was in like first, second, third grade? And I was like, oh, aha, like that makes total sense. When we got to the point of doing multiplication, I was like, oh, there's skip counting comes into play. I get it now. But, you know, I think we found, there, you know, there's a free online homeschooling curriculum called All-in-One Homeschool.
Right.
And that's, I mean, it's one really great program. It is a faith-based program, but I know a lot of people who are not of a Christian faith that still use it because it's a good program and it's free. Free is always good when you're homeschooling. Anything
you can adapt. You can adapt what you need to.
Absolutely. And I love that about it. And they kind of have this new online thing now so that you can like monitor progress online and check it off. And so it makes it a little easier to keep track of where everybody is and then getting to the pages you need to get to. So I really like that. It helps to keep me organized because, you know, three kids, I'm like, I don't, what notebook did I put that in? Like, you know, right. It's kind of one of those things. So, I found that I like it for some things, but then we also do book work. So I tell my son, I was like, we're going to do computer work now and then we'll do book work. And so we have a language arts curriculum in a book. We have a math curriculum and book, and we use master books for that. And then we also have history in a book. And science, we actually picked up the whole, like, the science, history, language arts, math curriculum from master books. But I found that the science was too hands-on for me, where I needed to be too involved. It wasn't self-led learning enough.
I had that problem a lot in science and like, let's say the elementary school years. I felt like I was doing the entire lesson and they were just kind of sitting there.
Yeah. And so I think for where we're at right now, especially with the 2-year-old, it wasn't a really good fit for us. And so the nice thing was, is that the All-in-One Homeschool has different science curriculums. And so we went ahead and picked zoology for the year because it was a little more self-led. And then when he does need me, I can hop in, but I don't have to be so like hands-on doing it for him. But my husband and I have talked about maybe like when he comes home, me doing that science lesson with him, because he really does like it. It's just a matter of me having the time to do the, you know, they want you to do demonstrations and stuff. And so for me to have the ability to sit and do those demonstrations the way they're supposed to be done without my 2-year-old trying to climb up, you know, a shelf somewhere in the house. I need to be able to focus on it. So we've talked about kind of maybe when he gets home, I save science for later. And so we're still trying to work that one out. Cause you know, I've only been homeschooling a couple of years now and it's kind of an ebb and flow and you kind of learn as you go. So
you absolutely do. And the sad thing is you'll figure it out and then everything's going to change.
Yes.
Sorry to warn you about that. But no, honestly, we were doing, you know, kind of doing the elementary school years. And I'm like, okay, we got, like, I felt comfortable. And then my oldest hit 6th grade. And now we're in middle school. And I'm like, oh, this sucks. Sorry, listeners, but it kind of does. It's like, oh, now it's middle school. Now we have to like be serious. Like I was like, oh, now like you know, now school has to be school, you know, versus, you know, more of our kind of relaxed play-based learning before. Because, you know, they need to learn how to take tests. They need to learn how to write a paper. They need, you know, there are like certain skills they need.
Yes.
Before they get to high school. And I'm like, I've got 3 years to teach you these things before you get to high school. So yeah, we're in that phase. And I was like, oh, this kind of sucks the fun out of it. I loved homeschooling elementary school, but I will say that homeschooling middle school is not as fun for me.
Gotcha. Yeah. You know, I love so much about it. You know, and of course, you know, my son, he's always been high energy. And so even when he was in school, I get the comments of like, yeah, him and the other boys were just talking today and that kind of thing. And he'd have days where he didn't even pay attention at school. So I know it's not just me. It's just sometimes he just needs to get up and jump around and do his thing. And, that's okay. 'Cause he's still young. He's 8 years old. You know, he's not a 25-year-old man. He's an 8-year-old child, you know, and he needs that, a little bit of that freedom to be able to do that. And when he gets antsy, to be able to take a break so he can refocus when he comes back and have more energy to put at it. And so I love the flexibility that homeschooling even allows with that, because, you know, the saddest part was in his school, a lot of times they would actually take away recess when they were bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, you know, in homeschool, we can do the opposite. It's like, you know, I can't take you right now, please. We have one of those little trampolines. I'm going to go jump 20 times and then come back.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, okay, that wasn't long enough for me. Please go jump 20 more. And like I got to the point where I was making excuses. So my oldest, who is my mom who can't sit still, just so she could move every 10 minutes. And I would like make up excuses like, oh, you know, I wonder if the wash machine downstairs has stopped. Go all the way down the stairs. Tell me if the wash machine has stopped and come back and tell me. Like I was making up reasons for her to get up and move.
That's awesome.
Now let's ask the dreaded socialization question.
Oh, gosh.
I know. But seriously, everybody wants to know, because especially when you become a working while homeschooling parent, our time is so tight. So how do you homeschool or get your homeschooling done and get your work done and get your kids out of the house and don't lock them in a closet? Like how do you pull the socialization in with that?
You know, I think we need to kind of take a step back really quick first, because so often they think school is social.
It's not.
But no. It's not. And time again, you get the teachers that are like, this is not social time. And so I think we need to remember that school is not for socialization. School is for sitting in a chair and listening to a teacher and following the rules and obeying the rules. And so, and yes, you learn things in that process, but it's not for socialization. They might get a little bit of socialization during lunch, but even then it's limited. And then their time, even during recess, if they get one, is limited. So they go 7 hours a day being expected to sit still, be quiet, and listen to everything they're trying to pour into them. I mean, my kid was just toast at the end of the day. Half the time I didn't even have him do the homework because he couldn't focus on it anymore. He was done.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? Tell me when he starts struggling in class and I'll make him do the homework. But if he's not struggling to do what he needs to do in class, I'm not doing this busy work at home, because he's toast. He's done. He's had it. Right. And, you know, I find that people think, oh, school is social just because there's people around, and it's not. And so we have to think about, what do you mean by socialization? I want my children to learn how to interact with people of different backgrounds, different ages, different belief systems, different, you know, even our same belief systems, but I want my kids to learn how to interact with people in all walks of life. I want them to be able to ask questions of a person that they need answers from, or if they have a question, for them to be able to go up and ask the adults that, instead of me going and doing it for them.
Right.
You know, I want them, you know, just the basics. I want them to learn how to restaurant. How do they learn those things? Well, they learn them by going out and doing them.
Right.
And so for me, you know, my kids need playtime with other kids. And We do play dates. Right now we're not in a co-op, but you know, our church, you know, we meet up with our church, people from our church a couple times a week. We go to parks and we meet up for play dates with different families. We just go to the park sometimes and there's other people there. There's a couple of certain parks near me that I know pretty much always have kids at them in the middle of the day. So we'll go to those ones. Cause you know, people tend to bring their kids to those parks more often than other ones. But it's really about making space for playtime and making space for them to learn social skills in different environments, because it's not normal for people as they grow up to only be with people that are their same age.
Right.
Right? Like, you get to work and you need to learn how to work with people who are your age, but also people who are 30 years older than you, 10 years older than you, 5 years older than you. And, you know, you're all at different levels of maturity. And so you need to learn how to do those kinds of things. And the only way to do that is to practice doing that. And so, you know, they go and they, you know, we do, you know, probably 3 or 4 play dates during the week, plus church, plus, you know, Bible study we go to, and the kids get to just go and play. But, you know, they get plenty of interaction with other children. So if that's what someone means by socialization, interaction with other children, they get lots of it. They also get interaction with adults when we go to the grocery store. They get interaction with adults when we go to the library, because most of the time, if they have a question of the librarian, I have them go ask it, not me. You know, I might go with them, but I want them to learn how to interact with people of different ages. And so my oldest, it's great when you see him playing at the park and there's a 4-year-old boy. He'll go and play with the 4-year-old boy. He doesn't care. It's a kid. Right. He wants to play. So
I have to tell you a funny thing. We actually force my youngest is like ridiculously shy. So we actually force her. I was like, go ask for more napkins. And she starts to roll her eyes because now she's old enough to know what I'm doing. But like, we go force her to like go be the person to ask the question versus like, you know, us doing it for her, because she's so ridiculously shy. Honestly, it is just easier for us to do it. But we're making a point now. I was like, look, you don't have to be an extrovert, but you do have to like live in the world. So you have to,
yes,
you know, we're forcing her to socialize against her will at this point because she's 11 and she totally can, but she's like, but why should I? Because in her mind, she's like, I don't want to be around people. So why should I? And I'm like, I'm okay with you being an introvert, but you're not allowed to be a hermit.
Yes, yes.
There's a fine line. I understand that. But you have to have the ability to do it, whether you like it or not. I'm not saying you have to do it. I'm just saying you have to have the ability. So, but it's really funny when, like, we'll go to the library. I'm like, okay, well, she's like, I'm interested in this book. I was like, well, go ask the librarian. And she just looks at me like, you're making me do this again. And so I'll go up there. But it's really weird the looks I get from the adults. Have you noticed? Maybe your kids are still young and cute and they don't get that. But like, it's like the adults, like, why are you making her come do this now? Like, it's like, cause they don't know the child. So they're like, I see you right there. Why can't you just ask me? And I just kind of like, she's asking you a question, person. But it's really funny. Almost that, honestly, adults our age almost don't know how to interact with kids too. So socialization goes almost both ways.
Yes, it kind of does. You know, I really think that, you know, my daughter's super shy too, so I can totally relate to that. So I'm trying to help her, like, even when at the playground, it's like, go ask that one to play. She's like, I'm too shy. That's her new thing. And so it's like, well, it's okay. You can be shy, but still say hello. So, you know, we're trying to do some little things like that just to get her to kind of, you know, become a little more excited about being around, you know, new kids. And I know it's hard. You know, some kids are just, they just take time to warm up. And
exactly. Exactly. Hers was, she wouldn't even say, I'm too shy. She would just going to say, no. I was like, I don't really know how to handle. I don't know how to respond to that. What's the correct answer? When I'm like, okay, go make a friend. No. Oh, don't you want to go play with those other kids? I see you watching them play. Why don't you talk to them? And she's like, no. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, okay. Stubborn. Yeah,
It's so hard. I think, you know, we definitely aren't social enough, like, with kids, and we don't know how to interact with necessarily with kids or say hello to them or treat them as if they have something to say. I think it's unfortunate. Yeah. Culturally, we've kind of gone back into this place where in some ways kids are to be seen and not heard. But, you know, my kids have great ideas and they have stories to tell and they're excited about things. And so, I want to help them express those things and be able to talk to people about them and all that kind of stuff. So it's definitely, an interesting observation that you've made. for sure.
So speaking of other people, what's some of the kind of weird questions that you get asked when people find out you work and homeschool at the same time? Because I know you have it.
Yes. I think it's just like, oh my gosh, how do you do that? Or I think some people think I don't work. I don't know what they think I do, but they're like, yeah, how do you work? And I think the whole idea of remote work is still a little bit of an enigma for people. And so they don't understand that I just get on a computer and I do work and I submit it to where I need to submit it. And I communicate with clients either via email or sometimes a phone call or that kind of thing. And so I think that they don't understand that I don't have to sit in an office in a building that someone else owns in order to get work done. Right. So I think it's, definitely, not really any outlandish questions, but definitely just the like, how do you do that? And how does that work? And how do you get anything done? And I think those are some of the big things. It's like, or they think I don't actually homeschool my kids and I just work all day and they don't actually get educated. So it's either one extreme or the other. They kind of like, well, what are you teaching your kids? And it's like, well, math and English and social skills and history. Too. Yeah. So I think they don't understand that, homeschool doesn't necessarily look like, 7 hours a day sitting at a desk writing on a piece of paper. But it's so much more than that. It's about learning. And, definitely it's like, oh, what are you teaching your kids? Or it's, what do you actually do? And it's like, well, I write and I take photographs and I do online marketing type of stuff with it. I have to do that kind of thing. So
What would you say is, let's say we have a potential working and homeschooling parent listening in and they're kind of getting your feet wet in this. So they kind of want to hear the real dirt. So let's pretend for a moment, like, what would you say is kind of your biggest challenge in doing all of this? Like, I always think of that as like, all right, I want to be prepared in advance because I'm, let me say I'm maybe a little OCD in that. What would be your biggest challenge that you've had to kind of work with and overcome in this kind of working homeschooling life?
Besides the two-year-old. Oh my goodness. I think it's really looking for the time wasters in your day is a big thing because there's a lot of things that can easily suck your time. And that can go for business, for homeschooling, for just life in general. If you think about kind of your day, I think one of the challenges is getting caught up in something that's going to waste my time. Like it's not something valuable. It doesn't add to my homeschooling experience or it doesn't add to my home experience or it doesn't add to my work experience. And so I think it's definitely, I would say it's sort of time management, but not really time management. It's more about looking for time sucks and finding out what those things are. Maybe it's, on your phone doing quote unquote research, but then you get sucked into like four other videos on YouTube or something.
Oh yeah.
So it's kind of like, okay, it's knowing when, okay, I found what I need. Like let's get done. Let's move on to the next thing. I also think with, it's managing your time sort of, kind of setting, being able to look at things and letting certain things be undone. So yes, you need to keep up your home, try to keep it clean as possible and that kind of thing. But you got to realize during the day, you might go from activity to activity with your kids, or they might be going from playtime to book work back to playtime. So things don't need to be cleaned up instantly at all times. And I think sometimes being at home, one of the challenges is getting caught up in doing the housework, I think is a big issue. You got to learn that, okay, we are during homeschooling time. We are going to focus on homeschool things. And if cleaning or chores are part of your homeschooling, great. But I think that you definitely need to be aware that it is homeschooling time. I do not need to be cleaning everything right now.
Right. Protect the time you set aside for homeschooling.
Yes, for homeschooling. And so, or it's protecting work time. So maybe during your work time, if your kids take naps or if your kids can go and do rest time or do independent play for like 30 minutes, if you need to get something done for your work, protecting that time and saying, no, this is what I'm going to work on something. And again, not getting caught into those time sucks of social media or watching too many videos that aren't important, really focusing on for your business, those core things that actually make you money and kind of letting everything else kind of fall away. And so, I think it's definitely this kind of ebb and flow of just trying to figure out what works. And then it's also just, I think it's a challenge to figure out what works for your own family because you can get caught up in there's so many homeschool things now, so many resources, so many things you could do in your homeschool, but you can't necessarily do all of the things, right? Like there's too many things to try and do. You're not going to do Pinterest perfect crafts every single day necessarily. That doesn't have to be that way. I mean, if you love them and you want to do them in your you're okay with that, then do them by all means, but it doesn't have to be that. Right. Also, the challenge is not getting caught up in what other people are doing in their homeschool. You know, that,
that's a big one.
That FOMO, that fear of missing out, that, you know, that comparison game, like, well, my homeschool looks like, you know, a couple of charts and a thing, and they've got like this elaborate homeschool room that looks like this, you know, Pinterest amazing thing. And I think just really focusing on your values as a family, and then, you know, how you're going to homeschool your kids, and then doing that and not worrying about what everybody else is doing.
So as we wrap up today, do you have any last words of advice or encouragement that you would kind of like to send out to the listeners there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's hard to go from this very structured mindset in terms of, like, let's say you're in the place right now where your kids are in school full time, you work full time, and everything is so structured. You've got your 9-to-5, this is your work bucket, and then you've got your home bucket when you get home, or bringing your kids to activities, or your kids are at school, and there's this so much structure. I think it gets a little bit scary when you think about going into this unknown place that you get to build yourself.
Right.
And I would encourage you not to be scared of that unknown, because if you are ready to either make a shift in your career because you can start working from home, or you can start getting freelance clients, or you can build your own business, or whatever it is, or, you know, you're blessed with the opportunity with, you know, because your husband or your wife, if you're a husband listening to this, and you're gonna be homeschooling, but it, you know, that if you can, that you get to, you're gonna be blessed so that you don't have to work full time anymore, and maybe you can only work part time, or maybe you don't have to work at all, and then you get to completely focus on this homeschooling thing and your home and all of those things. You know, I'd really encourage you, don't be afraid of that unknown, and don't be so scared if it doesn't work, because I'm going to tell you, you can do it. If you want to work from home, you can make it happen. It might take some steps to get there. You can do it. If you want, you know, if your husband makes enough money, or your wife makes enough money, and you, and they're like, yes, let's do this homeschooling thing, and you want to take that step, then take it. Like, if you can, take it, because what's the worst that could happen? You know, like, I think we're so scared of what could happen, that we're going to fail our kids, or we're going to fail this. And I'm going to be honest, the only way you'll fail your kids is if you do nothing at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, this is really, really, you, I don't think you can fail at this unless you're doing nothing. Because
if you don't even try,
because you're gonna look for, you're the parent, you're gonna look for whatever resources you need to help your children learn what they need to learn to get to that next step, to help them whatever their dreams and goals are. You as a parent, you're gonna do whatever you can do to get them there, you know? And well, so much more than a teacher who's teaching 30 kids in a classroom, 120 kids a day, can do. And because they're your kid, you know them the best, you know their strengths, you know their weaknesses, you know every little thing about them. You're not going to fail them. You might, you know, find something that doesn't work and you got to scrap it and start with something different, but that doesn't mean you failed. It means that wasn't the right method. So I want to encourage you that if you're scared to take the jump because you don't know what it's going to look like and it's this whole unstructured, like, enigma, don't be scared of it. Just take a step. What does that next step look like? The only way you're going to fail is if you do nothing.
Right. Absolutely. So hopefully, listeners, you've heard all of that. If the only way you can fail is just don't even try, which is what we tell our kids too. So thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Julie. Thanks for having me.
Now, as we wrap up our episode today, I want to thank you all for listening in. There are a ton of great podcasts out there, but you chose to spend your time here with me. So thank you. Please be sure to check out all the show notes for the links to my site, workingwhilehomeschooling.com, and all of the great ways that you can connect with me online. And we do appreciate our listener supporters. So if you've enjoyed today's podcast, you too can support us with a small monthly donation that helps us continue with great content and interviews like you've heard here today on the Working While Homeschooling podcast. Just check out the show notes for the link. We appreciate your online reviews, all of you that are subscribing to the podcast. Thank you to all of you who are sharing this with your homeschooling friends. And if you know someone that you think would be a great guest on our podcast, please let me know at julie@workingmomhomeschooling.com. Thank you for listening in today. Thank you to Chris for being our guest. And please, everyone, make sure you're joining us in our Facebook group for a continuing conversation on today's topic and beyond. I look forward to seeing each of you soon at our next podcast for Working While Homeschooling.